Please take your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's ask God to bless our time as we look to His Word. Father, we thank You so much for the God that You are, the God who is sovereign and control of all things, and yet is good. You love us so much, You sent Your Son to die for us. You made everything. You know what is best. You are wise, and yet You care about us. And nothing can separate us from these things. Thank You so much for the promises of Your Word, the truth of Your Word. And as we look at Your Word this morning, I pray that You would give me wisdom to explain it and that You would give us the desire to obey it. Use this passage in our lives, Father, I pray, to make us more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. I'm telling my message this morning, realizing the power or the value of wisdom. Realizing the value of wisdom. Have you ever had somebody help you to realize the value of something you thought was junk or maybe insignificant? And you found out that it was worth a lot of money? How many of you like those shows, Pawn Stars, Antique Roadshow, Storage Wars, ones like that, you know, where they people bring stuff to them or they, you know, open it up and they discover the value of what they really have or the lack of value sometimes. How many of you like those kind of shows? They've been very, very popular, surprisingly. Especially, you know, Midwest, we got all this junk lying around sometimes that we don't even know what it's worth, right? Maybe you've hopped on eBay and you've discovered that what you had could be worth a lot of money. Now, it's not worth that until you actually sell it and somebody, you find the person who's willing to do that. Maybe it's even a friend that tells you, hey, did you know that that is worth that? And maybe it was something you were kicking around and all of a sudden you start treating it a little better. Proverbs chapter 2, this chapter helps us to realize the value of wisdom if we will see it and then seek to live by it. A couple of weeks ago, we learned from our study of Proverbs about the appeal of wisdom by seeing the reasons that we should listen to it. Number one, we need to prepare now. There was the woman of wisdom calling out to the simple and the fools to listen, repent before it's too late, before the time comes when she would only laugh at our calamity. So we need to prepare now. And secondly, someday it will be too late. There is coming a day when it will be. And so the woman wisdom warns of that day when we won't find the answers because we didn't seek it when we should have. And warned of the laws of sowing and reaping and, you know, how one day we're going to reap what we've sown. And that's how that all plays out in our lives. And so we need to be prepared by seeking wisdom now. Listen to it. Now Solomon, the author of Proverbs, goes on, or much of Proverbs, goes on to instruct his son here, really, it's a second lecture, if you want to think of it that way, his son in the value of wisdom. And remember, we're talking, it's the analogy of a father talking to his son, but it is, as we saw from the first chapter, really this is instruction for anyone. Not just for young people, though those sometimes are the ones that need it the most. But even if we are wise, we can still learn from the wise instructions. So he instructs his son in the value of wisdom. And from his explanation, I think we can learn about the realizing the value of wisdom by coming to two realizations found in these verses. You know, you could divide this chapter a lot of different ways. Just want to throw this out there. This is actually complex sentence in the Hebrew, so that would drive some of you English people out there kind of batty if we put this all in one sentence. I have one point today, right? You know, it could be divided out a couple different ways. One through four, you'll notice, are the kind of the conditions for seeking wisdom, verses 5 through 23 are the benefits. So that's one way. But then there's kind of another section in verses 12 through 15. It talks about the temptations of easy money, then verses 16 through 19, the temptations of easy sex, and then verses 20 and 22, the kind of conclusion and summary, wrap it up and bring it all together. I'm going to focus on the two main results in this passage. of wisdom, the payoff and the protection. So the benefits, here's the payoff here, and then the other part, what does wisdom protect us from? So the first realization in verses 1 through 9 is we need to find the payoff of wisdom. Psalm again begins here. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear," the ideas are giving attention, listening closely, "and apply your heart," or incline your heart, "to understanding." So it's headed that way. "Yes, if you cry out," or call out for discernment, "if you lift up or raise up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures," using the picture of, you know, how people take so much time and effort to get money, you know, silver out of the ground, right? You think of all the work that goes into mining that, or if someone, you thought you had $1 million buried on your property, what would you do? You'd spend a lot of time digging, right, to find that. And, you know, maybe, you know, Jesus talks about this, the one who finds a treasure in his field and goes away and he goes away and sells all he has to buy this. You know, the extent that people will go to get money. And he says, if you do this, if you seek it this way, if you will want to listen to what my word, and he's comparing it, his words, notice what's parallel here. It is my words, my commands, you know, wisdom, understanding, discernment, understanding, you know, these hidden treasures. This is what we should value. This is what we should listen for. And in fact, he even uses the word treasure in verse 1. Treasure my commands within you. What do you do if you treasure something? It means you're storing it for use at a later date, right? This is what we should be doing. This is how much we should be pursuing wisdom. If we listen to it, we're wanting to hear it. Our tendency is to talk, right, rather than listening. We like to hear ourselves speak. But you don't really learn if you speak all the time. As Mark Cale says, two ways to learn in life is to ask good questions and read good books. You need to learn to listen to the wisdom of others. And that is what Solomon is advocating here. If you do this, what? Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And remember chapter 1, verse 7, our verse that we were learning is, that's what we need. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't have that, if you don't have this proper view of God that realizes that He is in control and that He is the one that we should be seeking, that He is wise and good and all that He is, if you don't understand that, you can't really learn in life. You're going to come to all sorts of screwy, messed up conclusions. And we see that playing out in our society. And the person that won't listen, despises wisdom instruction, is a fool. They're stupid. But if we seek it, we will find it. We'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll find the knowledge of God. It is one that comes from Him. God promises that if you seek Him, you will find Him. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Why? For the Lord gives wisdom. He is the source of wisdom. James 1:5, that verse I read in the beginning, how, you know, if you need wisdom, go to God, who gives to all, anyone who asks liberally without reproach. Don't ask doubting, though. Believe that you'll receive it, because God is the one who gives it. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He is the one who sources that. Where does He store it up? He stored it up in His Word, and He gives it to us through His Word. This is why it's so important that we study it. And it's beneficial, as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us, it's beneficial for teaching us what to think, what not to think, what not to do, and what to do, and will equip us for every good work. It's everything that we need for life and godliness, as 2 Peter 1:3 tells us. His precious promises that He's given us. It comes from Him. In fact, it says He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. This picture of storing it for us. I mean, this is a pretty good storage place, right? anybody can study the Word of God and find answers to life, find the practical application of knowledge, as we would define wisdom. You don't know how to raise kids? Go to the Word of God. You don't know how to, you know, fix your marriage? Go to the Word of God. You don't know how to handle this ethical problem in life? Go to the Word of God. You don't know how to respond, you know, fix these relationships that you're struggling with? Go to the Word of God. You don't know how to respond to grief and death? Go to the Word of God. They're all the answers are here. God has stored up wisdom for the upright, those who will seek Him. Then it uses a different picture. It says He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He's the protector there. And we'll dive into this more in the next section. But He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity or uprightness in every good path. These are the benefits. This is the payoff. We get all this from God when we seek His wisdom, as Solomon urges us to do. And remember, you get what you go after, don't you? I mean, if you never aim at nothing, hit it every time, you never seek wisdom, you're never going to find wisdom. And you're going to reap the benefit, well, the consequences, not benefits, consequences of that. But if you seek wisdom, you will find it, because God promises it. God is the source of wisdom. He is our shield. He is our guard. He preserves and He gives us these variety of metaphors to flesh this picture out of all the benefits that come from seeking Him. As we go down His way, not the world's way, we go down the good path, this well-marked path that is laid out for us in Scripture, we will find the payoff of wisdom. You know, the payoff for hard work comes a lot later, often, doesn't it? I mean, years of practicing piano, years of shooting at targets, or years of playing hockey. I like to do that. Or maybe weightlifting. Or I remember in college, was it college or seminary? You know, I'd been working at PDI, and one of the things you do at PDI is you lift a lot of boxes. And growing up, my older brother always liked to kind of instigate things, kind of pick at me and get me riled up. And that day, my younger brother was out here, and he decided to go after me for some reason. I can't remember. Anyway, he grabbed me, but because I'd been working at PDI so much, I just stood up with him on me. Like, and that was the last time he messed with me, right? That was like kind of the culmination of the payoff of all that hard work at PDI, and I had the body strength to do that. I don't know if I can do that anymore, but at least he doesn't know it. Don't tell him, okay? You know, there's the payoff for our hard work down the line. Have you found the payoff of wisdom in your life? Have you realized how beneficial it is to have wisdom for everyday life and situations? When you're faced with a marriage, how do you build a good marriage? How do you maintain a good marriage? How do you raise kids to follow the Lord? And not just raise good citizens, but raise children who will know God and want to serve Him. How do you be a good worker, a good employee, or a good boss? I mean, those are things that come from the Word of God. What do you do, and how do you be a good friend? How do you be a good neighbor? How do you treat your enemies? I mean, those are all things that Scripture gives us wisdom on. The ethical dilemmas in life. What about when you're, you know, the end of life issues and living wills and all these other things? What about this scenario? I think it was always telling. I remember a pastor at one point, he was taking doctoral classes at Iowa State. He was interim president of Faith at the time. And he was in classes with, like, president of Drake and DMAC and stuff like this. And they, part of the coursework was a lot of ethical dilemmas. How do you lead people through this? And he would just answer the way the Bible tells you to. And pretty soon, all the other presidents are waiting for him to answer because they're seeing he has the answers. Where do you get the answers? The Word of God. Right? They help us to walk through those situations. Helps us to handle death and everything that we go through. how to respond to each one of these things that life throws at us. God gives us wisdom. Have you sought wisdom like you should? I mean, compares it to seeking after treasure, hidden treasure. How many of us, I mean, we spend years of our lives preparing for a career, but how much time do we spend in preparing for wisdom to get the wisdom of God's Word? I remember a friend of mine, James Troms, you know him. He went to Bible college with me. He didn't end up in ministry. And when he was asked, why go to Bible college if you're not going into the pastor or missionary or something? I always remember this. And this is in public print, so I'm not saying anything. He doesn't, you know, it was an interview that he did with Faith or something. He said, you know, it prepared me for life. And I've always remembered that. Because learning the Bible will never be wasted. It will prepare you for life. And how many people, if they had spent more time preparing for life and less time preparing for their career, they may be brilliant when it comes to their career. And we see this all the time with sports figures and business people and politicians. They're brilliant in their fields, but their moral character is trash. And eventually it ruins them. We need the Word of God to guide us through life. Do you understand that God is the source of wisdom? Not a source, the source of wisdom. And that you must seek Him first to have true wisdom in life. What too happens too often, though? We wait until things are going south and we're staring this horrible situation in the face. And then we say, God help me, right? Is that the way God intends it to work? No, He wants us to find it first. That's why Solomon's saying, my son, you know, as a young person, find the wisdom from the Word of God. And when you do, it'll prepare you for things that you'll have to face. I remember one time, I was in Blaine's Farm and Fleet and checking out, and there's two girls, they were the cashiers, and they were looking at a ring or something and joking around about it, and I could tell they were talking about guys and marriage and all that. And anyway, I made the comment, I said, you know, finding the right one is more about being the right one. Because that's what God tells us, right? It's focused on your character, your growth. That's what leads to often a good marriage. It's not find the right person. That's what the world says. You know, it's kind of like you find a good or a perfect church, don't join it because you might ruin it, right? You know, because there is no perfect church, by the way. It's more about what God wants to do in us. And we need wisdom from God. Have you found wisdom from God? By realizing that you're a sinner and can't save yourself, repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ alone. Just as Scripture calls us to, we can't save ourselves. And said the wages of sin is death. We are on this path headed to hell. All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. And if it says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. Not by works of righteousness are we saved, but according to His mercy He saved us. And we need to recognize that and by faith come to Him, depending on His grace. Ephesians 2:9 tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. What do you do for a gift? Nothing. If you try to do something for a gift, it's no longer a gift, right? It's a reward. It's a payment. A gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So how do you do that? You trust in Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. You don't have to wait till you give a certain amount of money to the church. You don't have to wait till you do so many good deeds. It says you will be saved. That's it. No more, no less. This is the gift of God that He offers. I'm so thankful. Even the thief on the cross found salvation in his dying moments. Have you done that? If you have, then daily seek wisdom from Him and not rely on yourself. Do what James 1:5 tells us. If you lack wisdom, go to Him first. Don't wait till you've exhausted all your other resources. This is why we need to study the Bible daily. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you do, you will find the answers. You'll find how to think, how not to think, what not to do and what to do, and be thoroughly equipped. I don't know about you, but I like being equipped. I like being ready to do whatever the task is at hand. My wife can attest to this. I mean, I take all the tools when I go up to camp, or you want to have all the stuff there ready. Because nothing's more, it feels so helpless when you're like, I have that tool, but it's there, not here, right? Or you're in the midst of a situation and you realize, I should have spent more time getting ready for this. I hate that feeling. We have the tools from the Word of God. We just need to access them. And it's through studying God's Word. Have you found the benefits of doing so? Found that God's Word applies to He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. All things! Exceedingly great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 tell us. James is chock full of wisdom from God. Ephesians 4 through 6, the practical stuff of how we should live and how, don't lies, seek truth. What about work? Work hard so you can have, meet your needs and give to others. What you should say, what you shouldn't say, don't foolish jesting, but instead, clear speech. How your marriage, your how to raise kids, how do you obey your parents, masters, servants, all this. It's all there. We just need to read it and understand it. Matthew 5-7, Sermon on the Mount is chock full of practical instructions that Jesus gives. And there's so much more. I'm looking forward to diving deeper into this book with you because it's just so much practical instruction for our lives. Wisdom from God. Have you found the payoff of wisdom? First realization. Second realization, find the protection of wisdom. In verses 10 through 22. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your eyes, discretion will preserve you. So the result of wisdom, and he says, enters your heart. He uses two different analogies, your heart and your soul. What is he talking about? He's talking about the real you, the inner you. And that's where we need the wisdom. It has to be inside of us. Not just, doesn't do you no good if you don't access it. You have to have it on command. It says that knowledge is pleasant to your soul. It's the idea of being your delight in it. It's attractive to you. Later in chapter 7, Solomon again is going to say, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. That's where we need them. When you do that, what will be the result? Discretion will preserve you or keep watch over you. Understanding will keep you or guard you. Chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Talking about wisdom again. So the results are chapter 6, verse 22. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. It's kind of I always like to carry, I have a Swiss Army knife I carry all the time. And even this morning, I was fixing my daughter's doll with my Swiss Army knife. And, it's like the daughter's commenting how, oh, that's cool. You got that with you all the time. You never know when you're going to need that, right? I mean, you have basic tools with you. And some people, my brother carries a Leatherman. I know some of you guys do that, right? You want to be prepared. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is that tool that all of us can use, not just us guys. Understanding will keep you. To do what? And here's the two things. And I mentioned this in the beginning. Verses 12 through 15 keeps us from the wicked man or the evil person who speaks perverse things, who leave the paths of uprightness, walk in the ways of darkness, as our natural human tendencies, right? I mean, Jesus talks about this in John 3 and how we don't like to come to the light because our deeds might be exposed and we like to walk in darkness and We enjoy that. We're like cockroaches. We run from the light. This is our natural tendency. We rejoice in doing evil. We enjoy that. We take a twisted, sick, twisted enjoyment of what is wrong. I mean, this is people who laugh at crude things, things that are sin, who watch other people die. I mean, you think about the gladiators games, and you know that was wrong. I mean, people were enjoying that, and that is so wrong. And in our twistedness, we do. We delight in the perversity of the wicked, the crooked ways. I mean, there are movies today that are made all about celebrating sin. I mean, you watch people commit crimes. I mean, yeah, I know it's an imaginary world, but really they're celebrating people stealing and killing and other things like that. Is that really what we should be doing? Whose ways are crooked, who are devious or crooked in their paths. So that's one of the benefits. It'll protect us from following that person. The one who is like back in chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, you know, he's saying, My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. You know, they put out this bait. Hey, let's go do this. We'll make lots of easy money. No one will know. Wisdom keeps you from going down those paths, the crooked ways, the ways of darkness. That's the first thing it protects us from. The second is verses 16 through 19. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. It's interesting, the word here for immoral is strange. And then the word for seductress is foreign. And there'll be some who say, well, this is talking about foreign women, harlots, that kind of thing. But the very next verse goes on to say, who forsakes the companion of her youth, that's an expression, you know, you're abandoning the person you first married, right, when you were young, like Malachi 2, 14 through 15, and forgets the covenant of her God. What is this covenant? It's the covenant of marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right, to leave and cleave, to forsake all others and to be joined, become one flesh. Marriage is a covenant from God. So in light of that, it's probably talking about an Israelite woman, and the idea of this, why using strange and foreign, is because she is a stranger to what she should be intimate with, her own household, her own husband. She is leaving that and going to what she shouldn't. And it's a picture that is, unfortunately, this woman is talked a lot about in the book of Proverbs as warned against again and again, especially in chapter 6 and 7. Notice where her way leads. Her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. So it is a descent. It's almost as if her house is sinking into the ground, right? This picture of being sucked down to hell. And it's really talking about Sheol or the grave. It's the spirits of the dead, or even we would say shades. So it's not just talking about a physical death. It's talking about eternal death here, eternal suffering where her following her leads. And warned again and again about that. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Pretty vivid, right? You get off the track and you can't get back on it. And instead, you're sucked down. It's almost like you know you've got off the path and sucked down into the quicksand. This is the warning. And how do you avoid that? How do you avoid giving in or listening to the lure of the seductress? It's through the Word of God, through the wisdom that comes from God. And there's going to be some specific warnings and instructions in the book of Proverbs that will help us to avoid those temptations, whether it's the temptations for easy money or the temptations for easy sex and all that it brings. You know, this is, and the result is, so that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So here's the summary statement. if you listen to the Word of God, you'll be kept preserved from those temptations. And instead, you can walk in the way of goodness. Keep to the paths of righteousness. Stay on the path. For the upright will dwell in the land, is the promise. This brings to mind so many of the instructions and warnings of the Old Testament. Is if Israel didn't obey the Lord, then they would be kicked out of the land. And if even and one of the ones that I think really helps me to visualize this is the warnings to children in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, which is repeated in the New Testament, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Is if you obey, children obey your parents, why? It's not only right, but if you do, you will live long in the land, as the Old Testament. The New Testament changes that a little bit, it broadens the application. You'll live long on the earth. If children listen to your parents, who usually have some wisdom, right? Especially if they're raising you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they have wisdom from God. The benefit will be a longer life. Think about that. The child that doesn't listen to his parents and runs out into the street, what could happen? Their life literally can end pretty quickly, right? If you listen to your parents, they'll save you from some pretty tragic circumstances. No, don't jump out, do a somersault off the couch and onto your neck, you know? I mean, there's just some practical advice there. And it gets even more severe. If you don't obey the law, if you don't learn to control yourself, one day you're going to find yourself arrested and in jail. Some of my hockey friends this week were talking about some of their escapades as teens. Their stupidity, really. Lack of wisdom. And it reminded me of the verse, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Didn't sound like they had a lot of correction in their life. And so the cops had to get involved eventually when they did some stupid stuff. One, they decided to go out egging people in Waterloo and got chased down and arrested and cops called. And yeah, that was great. You know, this is stupid stuff. I mean, hopefully by the time you're a teenager, you know that that shouldn't be something you should do. But if we haven't learned from the wisdom of God's Word, then that can be one of the consequences. So, the upright will dwell in the land. If you listen to your parents, you'll live longer. If you listen to the Word of God, you'll live longer. The blameless will remain in it. But the contrast here, the wicked will be cut off. And what it means by cut off is you die from the earth. And the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And this actually happened to Israel. God warned them. Deuteronomy 28:63, Deuteronomy 29:28. God warns them of what will happen. And we know that it did happen, right? They didn't listen to God, so they were cut off out of the land. They were taken away. They were exiled. Many of them died. And in fact, one of the laws was if you are rebellious against your parents, there comes a point where they are told to stone you. The covenant community gets together and they're to be stoned. Because God takes those things seriously. Now, we don't live in a theocracy today, but still, there comes a point, if you don't obey your parents, the law gets involved, and you don't obey the law, eventually there's execution, there's consequences. You may get shot. They come down the line. This is what God would preserve us from, protect us from. He uses that picture of the unfaithful be uprooted, like pulling out weeds, like Matthew 15:13. What God's going to do to the sinners. He preserves us from these temptations of easy money, easy sex. Too bad Solomon didn't listen to that, right? His own words. He is an example, or Samson. Find the protection of wisdom. You know, we use lots of safety devices today, don't we? A lot of times we use them and don't really ever see their benefit at times. You know, you put your seatbelt on. Hopefully you never have to see the benefit of a seatbelt. I remember my sister one time, when we were 16, went out to Calgary, Alberta, with my brother-in-law, and we went skiing in Banff National Park in the mountains there. It's an incredible experience, but first day of skiing, we were coming down the hill, and my sister wrecked behind me, and her brake on her ski came up and slammed into her ski goggles. Come back and smashed it in the face and cut her eye. She ended up going to the emergency room, get stitches. She didn't have skiing the next day. But her eye was preserved. So if she hadn't had her safety goggles, her ski goggles on, that would have gone right in her eye because it where it hit. I mean, we saw the benefit of wearing ski goggles that day. Do you see the benefit of wisdom, wearing the protection that comes from wisdom in your life? Have you realized how safe it is to have wisdom for everyday life and situation? It keeps you from, I mean, just basic stuff. Like, I don't have to worry about going home at night and beating my wife because I've been drinking alcohol, right, and I'm out of control. Or I don't have to, think, what did I do while I was out of it, whether drugs or alcohol. I mean, that's just listening to the basic instructions of God's Word. It'll keep me from ruining my reputation. You know, if I'm not lying and I'm not stealing, I mean, things that could be some tragic consequences. Or, remembering who I told what to and keeping my story straight, I don't have to worry about that. I mean, that's what it protects you. It protects you in your relationships. You can have openness and honesty in your marriage, and with your kids, with your neighbors, your friends, your community. Keeps you from falling for scams and for the seductress. I mean, honestly, the seductress today is the internet, TV. There's plenty of it around. It'll keep you from that. Or why do people fall for scams, money scams? Because there's a desire to get rich, isn't it, usually, the factoring into it. I mean, there's other scams out there, too. But, the Word of God will help us to know that's doesn't sound right. That's not usually the way things work. Okay? Let me ask, the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. I mean, there's a lot of other scriptures that would help you to walk through that. It's easy to do. My brother got scammed recently. And they tell good stories. It's when we rely on ourselves and our own wisdom and not getting others involved in that. It'll preserve you from a lot, keep you from saying or doing mean or hurtful things to your family. I mean, just the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean, we use that with our kids all the time. Would you like to be treated that way? Right? If we thought about that, that keeps us treating our friends and family better. Has wisdom entered your heart or your soul through listening to what God has said to you through His Word? We need God's Word. James chapter 1 warns us we need not just be hearers, but doers of the Word. If the result will be the Word is implanted into our lives. You have the Word of God in your heart. I mean, what did David say? The Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Word is our lamp, as our speaker last week reminded us. That picture. Are you living the well-protected life because you found wisdom from God? I mean, if you listen to what God has to say, you live a well-protected life. I mean, how many of us we guard our valuables, right? I mean, maybe you have a safe at home, or you put your money in the bank, or you lock up your guns, you have insurance policies, you maybe even have LifeLock, right? I mean, you're protecting your digital identity even. We put all this kind of time and money and effort into protecting our physical life. How much more our spiritual lives, which last forever. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6, 19 and 4, lay up treasure on earth, but where thieves and moths and rust, it all destroys that. But instead, lay up treasure in heaven. And he goes on to talk about not worrying and all this other stuff and where your heart is, your treasure is. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. That's how you protect it. You give it to God. You trust Him with it. Are you protected from the temptations of easy money and easy sex through God's wisdom? The world is constantly bombarding us with these things. Are you being protected from that? Will you keep walking in the way of goodness, righteousness, and dwell in the land, living a long time because you're living by God's wisdom? I mean, yes, some of us die because of other things, but generally speaking, if you follow the Word of God, you will live longer. Right? It's a much healthier lifestyle. Some people that look way old before their time because they've just abused their bodies. But if we follow what God says, it will lead to a longer life. There are many, many benefits. Have you found the protection of wisdom? It starts by trusting God, Christ is your Savior. Because that's really the ultimate protection for our eternal life. It's John 3:16 and 3:36. You know, have you ever had that experience where you realize the value of something you thought was junk? Now you realize it's significant. I remember realizing how much my Legos were worth. How crazy is that? I mean, I have Legos from the 80s and early 90s that today, and even especially the pandemic, they have jumped in price. I mean, some of my sets I could sell for hundreds of dollars. And these aren't pristine condition ones. These are just ones that have been made, right? This is why I'm a little reluctant at times to let kids play with them. I mean, my will, you know, setting up a will, that was one of the things it is an asset. You don't think about this, right? But there are things, I mean, maybe it's that knick-knack that you had, especially if it was kept in pristine condition. Now all of a sudden it's worth lots of money. You treat it differently, don't you? You don't just let any old person play with it, feel it, whatever. How much more wisdom from God? Do you realize the value of wisdom? Will you find the payoff of wisdom and the protection of wisdom because you've realized its value? Will you realize the value of wisdom? Are you seeking it to benefit your life both now and forever? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its instruction. Help us to live in light of it, I pray. In Jesus' name.